Drupal Voices is short daily podcast interviews with people doing work in the Drupal community. Brought to you by the Lullabot Learning Series. This series of training DVDs and downloadable high-definition videos covers topics such as building sites using CCK and Views, basic and advanced theming, and administering and site building with Drupal. Each densely packed video is a workshop in a box. Learn Drupal from the experts at Lullabot. For more information about each of these videos, visit store.lullabot.com.
My name is Everett Zufelt, and you know, primarily my involvement with the community has to do with accessibility, though there are a few little other interesting parts of the community that, well, I guess that interest me because I want to see Drupal become a more robust and flexible tool all the way around. I got involved with Drupal probably back in fall of 2008, spring of 2009. I was working at the University of Toronto for their Adaptive Technology Resource Center, and we were working on a project that was using Drupal, and one of my responsibilities on that project was to help the developer understand how to ensure that that project was as accessible as it could possibly be. The target audience for the tool that was being developed was specifically blind screen reader users, because it was for a research project. And so it was important to make sure, obviously, that it, at the very least, blind screen reader users were going to have a fairly reasonably easy time using the tool. After that, I ended up working for this past summer for Open Concept Consulting in Ottawa. Now, Mike Gifford, who runs that company, has been involved in the Drupal community for several years, and he's been involved in Drupal accessibility for several years, and he's been doing lots of work to try to target the key big issues over that course of time. And I was fortunate enough this past summer to get to work with Mike in Ottawa, and my sole job responsibility was to be a full-time Drupal core developer from the accessibility perspective. So I'm fortunate that I'm one of the few people that's ever been paid full-time to develop core. Most people have to do it in their spare time, or maybe part of their working time is related to core development. But I was lucky in that my sole responsibility was improving the accessibility of core. And clearly that's not something I did alone. There was a team of people who were interested and passionate and skilled, who were working together on accessibility. And over the course of time, as we educated the community to what accessibility means in the context of the web or web applications, and as we showed, you know, what the benefits were, more and more people came on board, to the point that I can say, you know, in the beginning, everything's right. When you're trying to do something new in any community, but in the Drupal community as well, you come up against some degrees of resistance. How's that going to affect my part of the pie? You know, how's what you want to change going to impact on what I want to have happen? Those are legitimate questions, and if you want to change something, you should have to be able to answer any of those questions. How is it going to affect you, either not at all, or in this small way, or in this, you know, moderate way, but trust me, you know, or work with us, it's better to do it this way. And, you know, you have to make your case and argue it well, and you're going to win some of the discussions, you're going to, you know, not be successful on some of the other discussions. And so over the course of the last year, we've been able to get in a number of significant changes into core that improve the accessibility of Drupal 7. And we've been able to raise an understanding and an awareness in the community so that at this point, there's tons of participation. Designers, usability persons, people who are working directly with core APIs are all on board and helping the accessibility team, or people interested mostly in accessibility. They're helping us understand where we need to go, what needs to be changed, what the effects of changes are going to be that we might not be able to see ourselves because we might not be thoroughly familiar with the subsystem that we're working with.
Okay, and so maybe talk a bit about your process. I mean, how would you go about working with Drupal 7 and interacting with the community?
The first part of the process, being an assistive technology user myself and using a number of different screen readers on a number of different operating systems, was kind of just to go through Drupal 7 and what are the biggest, most obvious problems from an accessibility standpoint that jumped out? You know, what were things where I either couldn't accomplish something I wanted to accomplish, or where accomplishing it was more challenging than it needed to be, because accessibility is about more than the visual modality and far more aspects than just being a screen reader user. However, being a blind web content consumer and developer, there's obviously some unique challenges that arise. unless you sit down and think about it, you don't realize how much information is conveyed visually and through no other means at all. So in Drupal, if we're talking about something simple that we changed regarding local tasks or the tabs that are associated with a particular node, the only way that that information about which tab is selected is conveyed is visually. There's a CSS class set on the selected tab, and obviously, you know, you don't have to style that differently, but, you know, any good theme is going to have that selected tab styled in a way that visually it appears to be selected. That is information that doesn't get communicated to somebody who's accessing the page, whether it's non-visually or just with style sheets turned off. You have no way of knowing which one of those tabs are selected. And so issues like that that I would run across myself through just doing a very high-level overview of different aspects of Drupal core, I would identify, open issues, start with others to brainstorm solutions to those issues, and then start looking through core to see, you know, what sort of things can we do to try to correct these things.
And obviously JavaScript is going to be another realm where there's a lot of dynamic stuff that's happening. And when you're cruising the web pages, do you have JavaScript disabled so things have to gracefully degrade as well?
Yeah, JavaScript's a good question. Now, there's two sets of web content accessibility guidelines from the W3C. And version 1.0, which I think became a recommendation way back in 1999, at least way back in the term of web standards, basically said everything has to be able to be done without client-side scripting. Version 2, which has been being worked on for 10 years, but which was just a, became a recommendation in late in 2008, doesn't have that requirement. So when we're talking about graceful degradation, or probably the way I prefer to look at it would be progressive enhancement, there's two issues. Number one is a JavaScript issue, which is if I happen to have, for any reason whatsoever, JavaScript disabled, am I still going to be able to complete tasks I want to complete on the site? You might not be completing them in the same way, but is there still a interaction model that allows me to complete the task I'm trying to complete? The second perspective of that is whether JavaScript is enabled or disabled, am I able to complete the task if I'm using different types of assistive technology or if I have different limitations based on a disability? So as an example, something that might use JavaScript, for example, field sets, hiding and collapsing a field set. Modern screen reader users, I've been using a screen reader for 5 years and never have I used a screen reader that wouldn't be able to somehow handle an expanding and a collapsing field set with JavaScript. That's not to say that every implementation of that works properly with a screen reader. It's to say that the JavaScript itself isn't what's causing the problem, it's the implementation. Something that maybe works less well is table drag in Drupal 7 or Drupal 6, I suppose, where you can reorder rows of a table using JavaScript and a mouse. And once again, the problem there isn't JavaScript, but JavaScript's being used, so one can get confused thinking that JavaScript and the advanced functionality provided by JavaScript is what's causing the problem. The problem is that there is no good way for somebody who cannot use a mouse to reorder those rows. Now, you can use JavaScript to allow somebody to reorder the rows of the table using a keyboard. So JavaScript, once again, isn't the problem. It's thinking about ensuring that regardless of the input method, regardless of what tools, keyboard, pointing device, or otherwise that somebody has available to them, are they going to be able to complete the task and fully interact with the system in an efficient way?
And when you're looking at Drupal 7, one of the new things that we have is the admin overlays that are in there, as well as, you know, jQuery UIs also being put into Drupal 7. So maybe you could have a few words as how does that work out and maybe some words of caution there.
Yeah, definitely. So I guess I'll start with jQuery UI. jQuery UI, I'm not sure all of the different places that it's used in 7 or in Drupal 7 at the moment. Overlay is definitely one of the places that uses the jQuery dialog component in order to create the admin overlay. One of the problems anytime, and I'll go back to the tab strip example just to make the point, is anytime you're trying to build a user interface control on a web page that isn't native to the markup language, it's not necessarily going to not work in an accessibility context, but you have to ask the question of how is the semantic information about the user interface control that we're building going to be conveyed to people? And primarily it's a visual problem, but there are other problems as well. So the only thing that differentiates a tab strip right now, or local tasks right now, or before we put a patch in to correct that a little bit, The only thing that would differentiate it from a list of unordered list of links is how it's visually styled. There's no semantic property whatsoever, no markup at all, that conveys information to a piece of technology to indicate what the role and the purpose and the state of that user interface control is. It's all done through a visual affordance. And the same problem exists with the overlay in that we are using JavaScript and using CSS to make it appear as though content that is part of the document is floating over top of the rest of the content in the document, and using CSS and JavaScript to control where the mouse can be active, where the keyboard focus can go. But there's no semantic markup at all to be able to really communicate back to any sort of technology, assistive technology, or anything else, to say, this is a dialogue, here are the parameters, here's one set of content and how it is separate from the rest of the content in the document. There's nothing semantic about that. Now, Overlay does use the jQuery modal dialogue component, and is a W3 draft recommendation called ARIA, or Accessible Rich Internet Applications, which does provide a set of attributes to set the role and the state and the properties of complex user interface components that don't exist in the base markup language. And so that's a pro. It's marked up properly. But like I said, ARIA is a draft recommendation. All of the terms are not quite settled. It's not fully implemented by browsers, and it's not fully implemented by assistive technology. So there's obviously going to be some quirks and some problems getting it to work well for all users, when what well means and the implementation of the proper way to do things hasn't quite been ironed out yet by all the different parties involved.
Okay, and so yesterday was the Core Developer Summit, and you submitted a presentation and gave up and gave a talk. Maybe you could give a synopsis as to what you were trying to communicate to a room full of Core Drupal developers.
Absolutely. I think the first and foremost thing that I want to communicate to Core Drupal developers is that we've come a long way in the last year in two ways. Technically, we've come a long way in improving the accessibility of Drupal as a tool. Perhaps more important than that, looking to the future, is that we've come a long way in raising awareness and understanding of what accessibility means within the core developer community. Like I was saying in the beginning, 12 months ago when I started really working on Drupal accessibility in 7, there was some resistance. It took more to make an argument for change. It would be harder to find somebody to help explain things like the menu system to me or the forms API to me than it does now. Now it's far easier for me to say, here's a problem I've identified, here's the context of the problem, here's what's creating the problem. Can somebody who's really familiar with this aspect, this API, this subsystem in Drupal, point me to the set of functions where I need to start doing my research for what needs to be changed? The fact that that's improved, the fact that community awareness and understanding, and I'll go so far as to say caring and passion about the issue of accessibility has improved, means that moving forward, there's far more support and far more interest, far more motivation in ensuring that Drupal going into the future becomes a more and more accessible content management system. It's like all things in Drupal, it's community driven. If you have a small group of people trying to get something done, they'll get a little bit of it done, and it's going to be a lot of hard work. When the community is behind the initiative, and when they're supportive of the initiative, and when they're willing to contribute their time and energy to help you be successful, then you're going to get a lot more done, it's going to be a lot more successful, and it's going to be way less frustrating and lower the bar of entry for others who might want to contribute in the same way to the system.
So working with Mike Gifford, Angie Byron had mentioned that, you know, he's part of his intention is to try to get Drupal wider adoption within the Canadian government. And so there's obviously a lot of accessibility bars that are set in terms of, like, in order for a content management system to be used in a government context, it has to meet certain standards. So maybe you could talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. So there is something at the federal government level in Canada. There's the Common Look and Feel 2.0 standard, and it is a standard that all publicly facing Government of Canada websites need to adhere to. There's visual standards. There's a number of different standards, and one of those is accessibility. At this point in time, CLF, or Common Look and Feel 2.0, was officially adopted in January 2007, so just about a year before the Web Content Accessibility Guidelines 2.0 were adopted and became an official recommendation by W3C, which means that the government currently is using the older WebCon Accessibility Guidelines 1.0 as their benchmark. So all federal government websites in Canada currently need to comply to the Web Content Accessibility Guidelines 1.0. Now, there's an initiative right now that over the next 12 to 18 months, I believe it is, those standards are going to be upgraded and modified so that all Canadian federal government websites that are public-facing are going to have to comply to the Web Content Accessibility Guidelines 2.0. And which means that Drupal or any other tool that somebody wants to implement within the government for any other reason, and one might choose to use Drupal as a tool because it already goes a long way to meeting the guideline. That's one of the criteria that they will be using to evaluate the tools that they use to deploy sites. So either they're going to maybe be interested in Drupal because it already goes a long way to meeting the guideline, but at the very least, when they're evaluating tools, it's going to have to be a tool that is going to not hinder them from being able to comply to the Web Content Accessibility Guidelines, because it's a requirement. It has to, even right now, it's a requirement. Any site has to comply to the older accessibility guidelines. So absolutely, the fact that Drupal is progressing in this area makes it one of the many things that make it a more attractive solution for federal government websites.
Are you into specific Drupal issue queues, or maybe talk about your process of how you're interfacing with the community at this point?
So how I interface with the community at this point, probably as far as from the development aspect, in the issue queue, what I look for, my search is set up to look for any issue whatsoever where the word accessibility appears. Now that means that there are issues that will come up. There's kind of three groups of issues that come up. There's issues that are open that are actually, here's an accessibility bug, let's fix it. That's one set of issues that will come up. Another set of issues that will come up are issues where the word accessibility is used out of the context of web accessibility, because it's a word that is used in several different contexts. And those ones, I look if they're interesting to me, but I normally ignore them. And then the third group of issues that will arise are issues where it might be something like a new theme that somebody's developing and they're trying to get it into core. It might be any aspect that's changing the UI of Drupal. And there's a tag that is often added to an issue in the same way that you might add a needs usability review. Lots of people will be adding a needs accessibility review to their issue to ensure that before a patch or a new feature gets committed to core, that somebody, myself or somebody else who's monitoring accessibility in the issue queue, goes through and gets a sense, you know, can provide some level of feedback about the accessibility of that prior to it getting into core. Ideally, I mean, there's two domains that need to be addressed as far as accessibility in Drupal moving forward. There are outstanding accessibility bugs, issues in core right now that need to be fixed, but there are also new elements being added to core. And if we can ensure that anything new, any new user interface, any new module that is added to core, any new theme, if we can ensure that they comply to accessibility guidelines before they go in, then the only thing we have to focus on is what currently is broken. If we continue to add new features and themes to core that do not comply to accessibility guidelines, then we're just continuing to propagate the number of bugs that exist already. And so ideally, we can get to a point where we'll be able to have no new features or user interfaces added to core unless they already comply to some basic level of accessibility. And that will mean that it will be far easier for us to bring the entire system up to that basic level of accessibility.
And finally, maybe you could talk about like your intention coming here at DrupalCon. Who do you intend to connect with, and what do you intend to let them know about?
Well, there's a few things that I guess probably broadly three things. There's areas of the usage of or implementation of Drupal that are interesting to me. So there's a presentation this week on libraries in Drupal. There's a presentation on search engine optimization in Drupal. These are areas that are interesting to me for a number of reasons. And there are also areas where, you know, lots of libraries might choose to use Drupal. Library information, making information accessible. Obviously, libraries have a vested interest in ensuring that the content in their collections or catalogs of their collections, anything about the content, the information that they store and archive and want to distribute to their patrons, they want to make sure that as broad of an audience as possible can use it. So understanding how Drupal is being used in areas like libraries, just as one example, helps me to understand how we can better ensure that those tools that are being used by libraries are accessible to the broadest range of people possible. Another reason that I've come is to meet with other like-minded people working on accessibility. partly to celebrate our accomplishments, but also to plan for the future. We've done great work with Drupal 7. It's near completion, ready to go out the door. Let's take a moment to celebrate, and then let's look forward towards the future and strategize so that we can have a plan. Ideally, I would hope that we can ensure that when Drupal 8 is released, that it will be, to one degree or another, fully compliant with some basic standard of web content accessibility. And if we do that, I think that we will end up being the first content management system out there that's really able to make that robust claim. And then obviously, thirdly, I'm interested in talking to anybody, whether they're Drupal shops, independent consultants, working for larger organizations implementing Drupal as a tool, who have questions about Drupal accessibility. Maybe it's kind of been on the periphery for a while and they're not quite sure where to get started. Maybe they're aware of a lot of the issues and maybe have specific targeted issues that they would like some assistance brainstorming solutions to, and I'd love to meet with those people as well, because the more people that understand accessibility and the more people that are properly implementing accessible Drupal installations builds up the community and builds up the efforts that we're doing to ensure that future versions are going to be more and more accessible.
And to get more information, you'll be taking over the URL of drupal.org/accessibility?
Well, I'm not sure taking over is the right phrase, but it currently doesn't point anywhere. So I'm hoping that we can get it to point to some form of a portal page to ensure that when people say, well, is there any information about that? Is there any information about this other thing regarding accessibility? Let's get something where it's all in one place, where we can have at least a portal in order to point to different places. And obviously I'm available on Twitter, and I'll be floating around the conference for those of who are here.
Okay, well, great, thanks.
Well, you're very welcome, thank you.